This is a clip from the new album Yasuke by Flying Lotus, which is also a soundtrack to a new anime show for Netflix. Welcome to Subject Object Verb, presented by Art Review. I'm your host, Ross Simonini. Flying Lotus, who I will now refer to as Flylo, has been working in film for years now. In 2017, he released his first feature, Kuso. Until then, he'd built a decade-long career as a producer, beatmaker, record label owner, and occasional rapper. He's a man of refined musical taste, for sure. But his work as a director, which is done under his given name, Steve, is a gleeful, uninhibited binge of pure tastelessness. The film Kuso is a seedy, pus-filled nightmare, an unabashedly schlocky horror comedy in four vignettes. A man fornicates with a sentient neck wound. An anus feeds on feces. But what I found most surprising about the film is its stark contrast to Lotus's music, which always has a little sprinkling of wonk, but is usually polished up to mainstream standards. Few artists play across such a radical aesthetic range in this way. But Lotus has always had an interest in the visual. He went to film school and tends to bedeck his shows with psychedelic videos that deepen the unstable dream of his music. In 2021, he won a Grammy for producing Thundercat, one of his closest friends, and has worked with David Lynch, Kendrick Lamar, Radiohead, Herbie Hancock, Erykah Badu, a group of names that, taken together, seem to suggest his sound at their center. In the last few years, Flylo has scored three anime series. On a few occasions, he said that in today's music industry, film and television scores may be his best path forward. I spoke with Lotus over a video call, in which he did not elect to turn on his video. It began uncertainly, as if he were feeling me out. But by the end of the conversation, we found a nice shared pulse. I read somewhere that you said film school kind of ruined your mind. And I felt the same about going to music school. And I wonder how you got yourself out of that.
I spent enough time outside of it, I think. I honestly had to just kind of abandon film and the idea of doing film for so long. Because I think what film school ended up doing in a negative way is just make me second guess myself all the time. It made me just kind of say like, oh, well, there's no point in doing this because it doesn't have this. It doesn't have all these proper things that a film needs to have. You know, this is a bad idea. Someone else might've done this, whatever. Just like, I think it just added unnecessary voices to some place, like to otherwise like super innocent, brain that was just like, I felt like I had way more ideas flowing all the time. And you know, they weren't always great, but it was just more like I didn't have this sort of I became inhibited once I went to film school, I think, and I just didn't trust my instincts as much. And I think the reality is with films, you really just have to have experience on set. I think that's really the only film school you need. You need experience in the field. And obviously going to school, you can meet people and build connections there, which is a great thing to do. So I don't want to knock it completely, but like, I think the best filmmakers were already good on day one. You know, like the people who came out of film school, I really like, there weren't anybody, no one was there and like had this breakthrough and like killed it at the end of it. You knew who was dope on day one, and the same people were dope when it ended. It's just, you have ideas or not. You're like built for it or you're not. And it's easy to see. You know, on like day one, when people start showing their stuff, if you're the person or not, you know. You're like, oh, okay, these people. This is real easy. Real easy to see.
Now that you've gotten into the film scoring thing, is there a very different approach for you to film scoring than to making an album? I mean, I know the music wants to draw less attention, right? As an art form in a way, right? Is that how you think about it?
Draw less attention?
I mean, right, because it's not the sole art form.
Yeah, it doesn't
right?
take the forefront. It doesn't take the forefront. So it's more so like support. You want to support the image with just the right thing at the right time. So yes, it is different, because sometimes I would be working on a scene and then I would just take the picture out and just listen to what it was, and I'd be like, oh well, this isn't musical. I don't like this. It doesn't work on its own. It works to picture, it suits the picture and the vibe, but maybe as a piece, if I'm going to try to release this, I don't know if I would ever do that. It doesn't feel musical. It feels like a moment. But sometimes that is what's required of you. So it is different. It's totally different, but I love it just as well, because on the other side of that, I end up creating a lot of things that I never would create if I didn't have the picture and the visual inspiration. I would have never done anything like this soundtrack, ever.
Yeah, restrictions can really be the great pathway to creativity sometimes.
Absolutely. And you know, limitations in the studio, not just visual. Just like also being like, okay, I'm only going to work with these machines. I'm only going to do it with this. You know, the film or the show, whatever it is, requires a certain sound. You know, if I end up doing some shit like Lord of the Rings, I probably can't use the same palette that I used on Yasuke.
When you're making a film score, how specific are you getting? Like, are you thinking on the kind of Peter and the Wolf level, where like an instrument will correspond to a character, or where themes correspond to characters? How are you organizing the kind of relationship between the music and the narrative?
Well, with Yasuke, the first thing I did was kind of just, I said, I once I kind of found out what the theme was and I figured out what the sound was going to be, I just kind of limited what I was going to use in the studio to kind of give the show a sound. You know, I can look around and see the exact sound palette that was used for it. And it's to me, it's really specific. I thought, you know, for some stuff, I would write right to picture. I would just improvise right to what I'm looking at. And then some things, I would play a scene like five or six times, try to find, you know, kind of tap tempo the scene and figure out what the beat is of the scene. And then just turn off the screen, you know, just kind of figure out, just feel like what was just happening there. And then maybe throw it back on and just kind of little bit of both, like push and pull, because I didn't want to be, you know, completely on with the visuals. But in the big war scenes on the show were all like super meticulously done to picture, because I felt like the wars were very, it's almost like a different expression there.
It's almost like a percussion ensemble.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Wars, I feel like I wanted to have a different feel.
Do you think all of this work that you do, now that you're getting into film scoring, do you think it's all still pointing toward a kind of unified mythology? I mean, I always felt this about your work, and I wonder, even now as you kind of start to collaborate more deeply like this, does it still feel like it's all pointing at kind of a central mythos?
I feel like it is. I feel like it's very much a part of. I think as far as projects and collaborations go, Yasuke is very on brand for me. I think I feel very connected to this project. I'm sure if, you know, Lord of the Rings came up, it would feel a little different. But I think because I've had such a deeper involvement with this project from the beginning, that it means more. It's deeper for me than just the tunes.
You mentioned Lord of the Rings there twice. Is that a secret love of yours?
Hey, man, well, you know, you got to just kind of like shoot these things into existence, right? They got that new TV show, the new Lord of the Rings coming out on Amazon. I'm not the guy for that show, but I don't want to throw my name next to it so people just start making associations like that.
Yeah, just drop it into the collective unconscious.
Yeah, why not?
Are you someone who listens to a lot of soundtracks?
I do. I love soundtracks. I love soundtracks, and I love when I see a film and hear a film, because I feel like that moment is so rare where the soundtrack will stand out nowadays. You know, like a lot of these big movies, these big Marvel movies and like a lot of the big action films, they don't have soundtracks that you like, you remember. I think, yeah, I remember, there's a few, obviously. There's some that stand out, but I think with like all the Marvel stuff, I don't remember any of that music. I don't remember a lot of the Star Wars stuff recently either.
It's like water. It just kind of flows on by.
Yeah. And, you know, I saw this movie, Saint Maud. I didn't like the movie, to be honest, but that soundtrack was so good. It made the movie better. Suspiria, stuff like that, where you have examples of the music that really lends to the visual and really helps to create an atmosphere and a mood.
You've mentioned a few horror films, and horror just seems to be historically one of the great platforms for soundtracks.
Yeah, atmosphere, that eerie space and ambience and stuff, the dread. yeah, there's other stuff too. I was just actually listening to the old Superman soundtrack, the old one, and there's some really beautiful stuff on there. A lot of beautiful melodies, you know, John Williams. Really beautiful stuff. But even stuff like Watchmen, the Watchmen soundtrack that Trent Reznor did for that show, I thought was great. I was really, when that one happened, I was like, I won't say I was jealous, but I felt like that could have been another perfect gig for me. I would have loved doing that. So yeah, I want the Trent Reznor gigs, that's for sure.
A lot of your work to me has a undercurrent of spirituality to it, however we all want to define that word. And I wonder if you feel like you bring that even to a project like a soundtrack, where it's sort of, you know, this kind of collaboration where you're working with someone else. Do you still feel like you're, like, everything you do has that level of spirituality in it?
I can't walk away from my spirit. You know, I can't get away from that. And that's where a lot of my stuff just comes from. I think just my connection to whatever's next, whatever's beyond. With Yasuke, I don't know if you got to watch the show, but, you know, that spiritual element is very much a part of the show as well. So it all makes sense to me, the connection. I don't know if I necessarily believe in anything specific. I'm more so just interested in the music, I think. Like religious music and spiritual music, more so than, you know, spiritual religious concepts. I've been really enjoying a lot of stuff that, like, gospel stuff I've been hearing, and trying to learn some gospel songs to play on piano, even though I'm not necessarily, you know, I don't know if I would actually go out and play these songs, but I think they're good to learn. Good for your fingers and your ears.
Yeah, I read that you were working with the piano teacher.
Oh, I'm still taking lessons, man, all the time. I think all the best musicians have someone else around that they would be like, okay, wait, so how do you do this? What is this? What? How do you make sense of this? What is this? Because music is infinite, and you can't ever stop learning. You can't ever stop growing. So I think, people should probably just learn that. Humble themselves.
What are you learning these days on the piano?
I'm always trying to understand progressions, different progressions, and why they work and why they don't. You know, it's such a big part of what I do. I guess so. Just trying to have a better sense of harmony, understanding like all the different substitutions you could do with bass notes and whatever, just different ways to approach chord progressions. That's been kind of my obsession this year, trying to build progressions that are like, it sounds fluid, and then all of a sudden there's these harmonic choices that are a little different, but somehow make sense. I'm trying to just learn how to flow better, just differently, different stuff like that. Been learning how to mix better. I feel like I've only just now learned how to mix. I'm pretty late.
But do you ever work with notation of music?
Yeah, man. I've actually, I used to, well, I only started writing notation maybe like 2 years ago, and I got really into it. But now I just, whenever I need to, I just kind of like write the chords down, just like lead sheets. I'll just make little lead sheets if I need to, but I can often just, once I got the progression, I can kind of remember where the melody needs to be. And so I don't usually write it all down. And I found out that I have like a good, I guess, a good sense of pitch. So I'm training my ear to hear all the notes properly. I guess I've been doing that this whole time without knowing it. So it's come a lot easier. People always say like, oh, you can't have perfect pitch as an adult, but it's not true if you've been working in music and listening to melodies and stuff this whole time. So yeah, I've been exploring that.
Do you see like colors associated with pitches, as some people?
No, I wish, like synesthesia.
Yeah.
That sounds so fun. I wish. I'm not one of those people.
I saw you're doing this 420 festival coming up, and I wonder, you know, What's your relationship to weed these days?
Man, I'm at that point where I don't have a relationship with it, and it's just like part of what I do. It's like some breaths are exhales of weed smoke in my life, you know? It's like I don't even think about it anymore. Sativa, indica, it's all the same to me. Well, that's not true. Some sativa, I will clean the house. But in terms of pot, it's, yeah. I had friends where, like, they, oh, man, whenever I smoke, I get all paranoid and all that stuff. I smoked through that phase, like, 20 years ago or something like that. At this point, man, jeez, it's been forever. Yeah, so I don't know. My relationship is, yeah, weed's here to stay. I think weed is just, like, something to do to cope with reality. reality medicine.
Do you think it's a creative medicine too? Like, is it, do you use it a lot for making music?
I don't know it. It's like I said, I smoke so much that I feel like I'm always stoned. It's more like, when am I not stoned? Kind of, which is harder. Yeah. I don't know. I'm always high, man. You know, people like, oh my God, I can't smoke before. I don't have that. I could smoke before anything. No one knows. it's either that or it's like, yeah, people just have always seen me stoned, so they don't know what I'm like when I'm sober. It's like, I don't know.
You've emerged now. It's just you.
Yeah, man. I'm, you know, me and Snoop Dogg can smoke weed together probably, and that would be a good day. Again, we did once before and he got me really, really baked, and I was surprised. I was like, man, Snoop does have the rapper weed that is of legend. I need some of that.
There's some magic dust in there or something, maybe literally.
Man, I hope not. Hope I wasn't smoking no magic dust with Snoop.
Thank you for listening to Subject Object Verb. The second part of this conversation will be published online and in print at Art Review in the coming months. It'll include some spicy discussions about his love for his crass mother, his distaste for musical streaming, his reading habits, insomnia, and an appreciation of YouTube instructional videos. As always, feel free to reach out to us at any time at subject object verb@artreview.com. Send in a comment or receive bad financial advice from us, whichever you'd like. Check in again next month when the philosopher Simon Critchley will give a talk about pandemic mysticism. Should be a mind opener.